creeping up on time for our New Testament Daily Lectionary Study here on His Time, Worldwide KFUO. But I will not be your host this morning. Andy Bates, your old friend's going to be sitting in for me because, well, believe it or not, by the miracle of modern technology, I'm not even in the studio right now. I am in Washington, D.C. at the March for Life, which I was just talking to you about, prepping you for. And so Andy is manning the fort back home. He's going to be speaking with our guest about Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 33. But I thought I'd do him a favor and not have him have to read it this morning. He can keep working on other things all the way up until that 8 o'clock hour. So I'm going to go ahead and read the text for you. And we'll be back in just a moment, though, to dig into it, open it up, and kind of start putting the bow on the book of Romans. Romans 15. Starting at verse 14, St. Paul writes, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Lectionary study coming up with Andy Bates right after we say our catechism.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He is making his way to the March for Life and the LCMS Life Conference in Washington, D.C. We hope to check in with him later on today during Faith and Family, as well as others who are marching at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. It's time now for our study of the Daily Lectionary. Our guest today, Pastor Chad Phillip of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gillette, Arkansas, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in DeWitt, Arkansas. Pastor Phillip, welcome to His Time.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And you, sir?
I am doing great. Beautiful sunny morning here in Gillette.
Well, very good. Glad you got some sunshine there in Gillette. Still a little cool there this morning in the 30s. Hopefully you get a little bit warmer weather than we do today.
Yes, sir. It's supposed to get into the 50s, so a nice shiny day and no wind blowing, so it'll be a beautiful winter day.
Tell me about the Saints of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gillette and the Saints of St. Luke Lutheran Church in DeWitt.
We are doing well, enjoying the Epiphany season. The members at St. Luke's, we're going to gather together this evening and do some prep work before tomorrow night. We're hosting our 56th annual spaghetti supper tomorrow night, and so getting all ready for that. And here at St. Paul, we got our youth getting ready. In 2 weeks, they're doing a big Valentine's steak dinner. And also next Friday, the congregation here at St. Paul celebrates its 124th anniversary. And so this year, not a big celebration, but next year looking forward to the 125th anniversary here at the church.
Quite a milestone. Thanks be to God. Where would we find Gillette and DeWitt, Arkansas, for those of us not familiar with Arkansas geography?
We are located in the southeast part of the state. Most people recognize Little Rock, and we're about 2 hours southeast of Little Rock. And Gillette is the smaller city, 600 people. The town's 1 square mile, and during the summer months, we're surrounded with rice fields. The DeWitt and Gillette are in Arkansas County, and it's one of the largest rice-producing counties in the United States.
Well, we are in Romans chapter 15 today, Pastor, verses 14 through 33. As we prepare to study this text, anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to dig in?
Well, this is this text that we're going to look at today is the wrapping up of Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. Now, chapter 16, a lot of personal greetings, the individuals he knows there. The section that would have been covered yesterday, 15:1 through 13, is kind of the climax of the theological portion of his letter. And so what Paul's doing here in our text today, he's wrapping it up, just like a good research paper. You have a great introductory paragraph. Well, when you write your concluding paragraph, you're going to do some connection back to the beginning and then add a little information to that. And so that's what he's doing here in these verses. We're going to see a connection back to chapter 1 of Romans, and then he's going to add a little bit more information for those Christians in Rome.
All right, let's take a look. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33. Let's take a look at perhaps 14 through 21 first. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience, by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, he says, yes, in verse 14, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another.
Paul right here, he's done this twice before in Romans, has used this emphatic, I myself. Not that Paul is boasting, definitely not doing that, but just to show, here is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and he himself all of the mission trips he's done, all the teaching he's done, he, Paul, is satisfied with these Christians in Rome. Paul did not plant this church. These are Christians who, for some way, have ended up in Rome, leaving Jerusalem, hearing the word from other areas, and have come together in this church. And here we also have a connection right away. Verse 14 of 15 connects with chapter 1, verse 8, where Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." Paul is proud of these Christians here in Rome. And he calls them my brothers, not just to the men, but this is connecting with all the people there in Rome. This term of endearment, a great affectionate greeting that they are all one in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And he is satisfied that they are full of goodness. In chapter 1, as Paul is writing, beginning this, he did the opposite. He talked about that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. For what can be known of God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. And then he goes into this list that is not a list of goodness. It is a list of those who are unrighteous, wicked, greedy, evil, full of envy and murder. Paul is saying, you Romans, that is not you. You are believers. You are full of goodness. You are the opposite of everything there in that first chapter. And so he is showing his love and his endearment for them, but also his pride in what they are doing there in Rome. And then he says they are filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Filled with all knowledge. They're not all knowing. There was only God is all knowing. But this group of Christians here in Rome, they continue to study God's word. And as they do so, they instruct each other. They are staying in the word each and every day. And the Greek word that we have translated into English, instruct, also includes admonish one another. The Christians in Rome are firm and strong enough in their faith that as they teach, they're also not afraid to admonish one another when they see a fellow brother or sister in Christ fall, to commit sins, to backslide, as they say a lot. They're not afraid to approach them. It can be a scary thing to go to somebody to discuss their sin with them. First, we have to go to the Lord ourselves and repent of all our sins. But it can be a scary because you don't know how they're going to react. Are they going to get mad at you? Do you lose a friendship here? And so these Christians are firm enough in their faith that they're not afraid to instruct and admonish, all out of love of God, in order to keep one another in that faith.
But on some points, I have written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Paul here is saying, he's written this long letter to the Christians in Rome, and at some points he was very bold with them. Paul has never been known to hold back any punches. And so there's a few chapters here in Romans, 9, 10, 11, 12, along in there, that he is pretty straightforward as to we as Christians, how we should act. That we should be very good each and every day at seeing our sins, repenting of them. And so Paul says, I wrote here, and there were some parts where I was very bold with you. I was very upfront. But that's because we all need to be reminded each and every day as Christians, we need see the law, the mirror that shows us our sins, to reminded that, yes, as we walk through this day, we are never perfect. We are sinners in need of repentance. We are also to be reminded of what Christ has done for us, to be uplifted in all of his promises and the salvation that he has won for us, to be reminded how, as God has called us, how we then are to go out into the world to share that message, but also how we are to act towards fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and towards our neighbor each and every day. And all of this Paul does because of the grace of God who made him a minister of Christ Jesus. Paul knows that he's the chief of all sinners. Paul knows that it was only by the grace of God that he was called to be an apostle, one who had persecuted the church, persecuted Christ himself. It is only through God's grace that Paul can be a minister to deliver the message of Jesus Christ. And to him, it has always been to the Gentiles. We read in Acts, Paul would go to a city. He would start off in the synagogue to the Jews, but he was always there for the Gentiles as well. And so thus Paul is considered the apostle to the Gentiles. And all of this is in service to deliver the gospel of God, to deliver the message of Jesus Christ everywhere that he goes, never to hold back anything, but to deliver that full message of Jesus Christ. And then, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, it is the people themselves who are an offering to God. It's not the tithes that they're giving, but it is actually the Gentiles themselves who are the offering to God. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we come to faith that we are made Christians. And so that is how this offering of people is given to God and acceptable to God through the Holy Spirit.
In verse 17, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. We'll go on to where he preaches in just a moment, but
okay.
Let's talk about his boasting.
Yes. Well, Paul doesn't like to boast about himself. And we especially see this in 2 Corinthians. Paul is not going to boast about who he is until he was kind of pushed into the corner and had to. But even as he talks about who he is, Paul's boasting is always in Jesus Christ. So it's not whether one boasts or not, but it's what is the basis. And the whole basis that Christ, that Paul says that he can boast, it's because of Christ Jesus and the work that God has done through Paul in order to share that message of Jesus Christ. And I love this, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Paul's only going to talk about what Christ has accomplished. Paul knows that he's like a fork. When we sit down for a meal, you got a plate of food there, you got that fork sitting there. That fork isn't going to do you any good until it's picked up and used as a tool. And so that is what Paul sees. He is the tool of God. God has picked him up by his bootstraps, and he has used Paul to deliver this message of Jesus Christ. And he's only going to talk about what they have done through him. He's not going to brag about anything else, and that is to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. It is the Gentiles have heard the word. There are a lot of people who heard Paul preach. we look at the book of Acts and we see there were basically one of two responses. They believed and rejoiced with Paul and listened to his instructions. They did not believe, and there were a lot of them. When they didn't believe, they went after Paul, run him out of town, drag him out of town, stone him. And so it is here, this obedience by word and deed is the reception of the gospel, this responsive hearing. The Holy Spirit has come upon them. They have heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And that is what Paul is boasting about, is that these Gentiles have heard the word. And through him, they have heard it through him by word and deed. It's not a deed of self-righteousness here for Paul, but instead it shows he showed them how to act. He showed them what it meant to be a Christian. And so by word and action, he was an example to the Gentiles, and they came to faith. Paul had the opportunity, was given the gift to perform signs and wonders, caused a sorcerer to go blind because he was teaching falsely, was able to heal a man who was lame from birth so that those around could see the power of Christ and would believe. And all of this Paul gives credit to is only through the power of the Spirit of God.
And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand.
Well, Paul doesn't want to, well, Paul had great missionary trips, and Paul always went to areas where Christ had not been preached. Nobody had been there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul does not want to go and build on somebody else's foundation. Not that he couldn't do that, but he just wasn't called to do that. Paul was called to go and deliver the gospel of Christ to those who had never heard of it, to plant churches in areas that had not heard the gospel, thus to fulfill Isaiah that said, those who have not heard will understand. Those who haven't been told of him, they will see, they will hear. And so that was Paul's call as a missionary, was to go out and share the gospel of Christ to those who had not heard.
Anything else, Pastor, up through verse 21 before we go to break?
Well, it's kind of neat. He talks about Jerusalem till Illyricum. You know, it's you kind of, it's almost like a not a full circle, but you look at a map and you see this broad area where Paul was able to go in, and he couldn't visit every town, physically impossible. But as we read through Acts, we see Paul would hit the major cities in the area. And we know that as the churches were planted there, he would stay and he would teach, and then he would leave elders there. And from those home churches, others would go out. And before long, this whole area has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, not always from Paul's word himself, but from the churches that Paul had planted and the individuals he had taught left there, and gave them the calling to go and share even more. And so this vast area of individuals who now believe in Christ because Christ had sent Paul there.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Chad Phillip of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gillette, Arkansas, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in DeWitt, Arkansas. We're in Romans chapter 15 today, verses 14 through 33. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. We have more study of God's Word on the way on Worldwide KFUO.
$2 million by March 31st, 2017. That funds 19 grants around the world. That spreads the gospel message of Jesus' love. That reaches hurting, helpless, and unbelieving people. That's what Lutheran Women's Missionary League has been doing since 1942. You too can support these missions and share the love of our Lord. Go online, see the missions, and donate by visiting www.lwml.org.
The NLS Braille and Talking Book Program gives patrons with visual or physical disabilities the freedom to read their way.
If you want to read in electronic Braille, you can. If you want to read on your phone, you can. If you want to read in hard print, you can.
Everybody can read the way they want to read using this program.
For more information about the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped Library of Congress, visit loc.gov/thatallmayread.
The faithful face many challenges. In the United States, an increasingly secular society is hostile to people of faith. In many parts of the world, Christians face persecution and even death. Jesus himself warned us that we would be hated and persecuted for his sake. Free to be Faithful is a religious education and awareness campaign of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Part of that campaign is a 30-minute in-depth examination of specific religious liberty issues, and it's aired the third Wednesday of each month on Worldwide KFUO. I'm moderator Kip Allen. I examine these issues from a Christian point of view with experts from both the religious and secular worlds. Topics include the impact of the election on religious liberty, assaults on the traditional definition of marriage and family, and the fight for life. Listen live on Worldwide KFUO or streaming online at kfuo.org. The program may also be downloaded on demand.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk today, making his way to the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. They are gathered together right now, actually, for divine service in the area in Washington, D.C., preparing to go to the March for Life. We are studying the Daily Lectionary here at the studios in St. Louis, Missouri, and on the line with us today, Pastor Chad Phillip of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gillette, Arkansas, St. Luke's Lutheran Church in DeWitt, Arkansas. We're in Romans chapter 15 and picking up at verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. All right. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you.
Well, Paul, as I said, we have a connection here in 15, back with chapter 1. And back in chapter 1, he had written to the Romans, "I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented." He wanted to come and visit Rome, and now we finally find out why he has been delayed. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you, is what we just talked about in 14 through 21. Paul's been busy. Paul had a calling to reach out to those who had not heard the gospel of Christ as the missionary. And so he had to fulfill this calling before he would head west and stop and visit the Christians in Rome. So the 14 through 21 are wrapped up right here in verse 22. This is the reason why I haven't come to see you, is because I have been busy sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. I'm coming to see you. I hope to spend some time with you.
Exactly. Yes. You know, I've completed it. It's prevented me from coming to you, but now this area, these churches, these people, I've planted these churches. I have taught there. I have left them in charge of competent individuals to continue going on. And now I want to go to Spain. And so this is the new area. This is my new mission field, is to reach out to those who are in Spain. And so as I go to Spain, I want to pass through and visit with you. And I love this. Paul says, so that once I have enjoyed your company for a while. This isn't like his second trip to the church in Corinth, where he let them know when he showed up it wasn't going to be an enjoyable visit. A lot of things were going bad in Corinth, and Paul was coming with the law. But not here. Jumps back to verse 14, that you yourselves are full of goodness. Paul knows that this is a wonderful church here in Rome. And so he's expecting when he gets there to have a great time of fellowship, to enjoy the Romans, that they might be filled and he be filled with joy as well. Let's see, is that where we stopped into 24?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes.
At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem.
Oh, I forgot one point on this last one. Let me jump back to
it. Sure, go right ahead.
Well, it says, to be helped on my journey to Spain. Paul is looking forward to seeing the Christians, but he drops this in there here at the end of the letter. He's made this connection with these Christians he's never met before. Part of what he's going to do when he comes through Rome is he's going to ask for assistance. And that assistance, it's definitely in the form of prayers, but also possibly monetary assistance, any supplies he might need, maybe even individuals. When he would leave one church, he'd usually take people with him to help him in his mission trip. And so he's looking for assistance from those at Rome. But before he comes to them one more time, he's got another job to do. He has to go to Jerusalem to drop off an offering. Macedonia and Achaia had been pleased to make a contribution to the poor saints in Jerusalem. We know through Acts, as we read through it, there were many in Jerusalem because they were Christian, not always able to work. They might have had a business that no longer would be frequented by Jews. And so there are many within the church in Jerusalem who are in need of assistance. And so the Christian churches on Paul's missionary trips, he would ask for offerings to help the saints in Jerusalem. And so they have been seen pleased to make a contribution to help their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem. Paul has that offering with him, and he needs to deliver that first before heading to Rome.
For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to also be of service to them in material blessings.
Yes, the Gentiles have been blessed through the Jews because the Messiah came from the Jewish religion. Jesus fulfilled the promises that God delivered in the Old Testament to his people, the Jews. And so the Gentiles have been blessed in that it wasn't that the Messiah was fulfilled through Judaism, but it has been shared with them. And so they do owe a debt to those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem because you have had the opportunity to share in the spiritual blessings that they've always been looking for. And now as we have shared in their spiritual blessings, we should, as brothers and sisters in Christ, share in the material blessings so that they're not without food, they're not without clothing, to help them just as they have shared with us in the spiritual blessings.
When, therefore, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ.
Paul knows he has to deliver this. This is the second offering that he will be delivering to Jerusalem, and he feels that this is a calling that he has had, and so it is something that he needs to deliver to Jerusalem. One reason is he wants to let the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem know that it is the Gentile Christians who, in their love for them as brothers and sisters in Christ, have given up this offering. He also wants to make sure the offering is accepted. He doesn't want there to be a feud and say, you know, the Jewish Christians say, oh, we're not going to receive this because it's from Gentile Christians. He wants to go in as the apostle to the Gentiles, and as the leaders in Jerusalem had always welcomed Paul. And so he's not by himself either. He's got a group of men with him as they bring this offering to Jerusalem. He wants to deliver it, but he also wants to make sure that the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem know it is a offering out of love, and so he wants to make sure that's accepted in love as well. And so that's why he's got to complete this first, and then he will come on to Rome.
I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Again, we see here, Paul, I appeal to you. He uses that affectionate term of brothers. And all of his appeals, everything that Paul has done, can only be through Jesus Christ and the love of the Holy Spirit. That as he comes to the Christians in Rome, that they will continue to pray for him through God as he has his trip to Jerusalem first. Because Paul knows that there's probably going to be trouble in Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, we're told that as Paul is traveling back to Jerusalem, I can't remember which city it was off the top of my head, but he stopped, and as they were sitting down for a meal, one of the believers there took Paul's belt and wrapped his hand, tied his hands and his feet up, and told him that when he got to Jerusalem, Paul would be arrested and would have a tough time. And so Paul is asking them to pray for him, that when he gets to Jerusalem, that he may be delivered from the unbelievers. We know that wasn't the case. We know that when Paul got to Jerusalem, the offering was delivered. He was welcomed with open arms by James and the leaders of the Christian church in Rome. We know that Paul went to the temple to do a rite of purification, and while he was at the temple, some Jews started a riot. Paul was dragged outside of the temple, and they were going to beat him to death, and was actually saved by a Roman guard, in which Paul was then arrested by the Romans and put in jail, and they kept him in Roman custody, which is how he finally gets to Rome. It's not the nice, safe trip that he had thought about, but he is asking them to keep him in their prayers, and not only to be safe, but also that his service and the offering would be acceptable, and so that by God's will he may come to visit them and to be refreshed in their company. Paul himself wanted to visit with them, and he felt for sure that it would be this great, great visit, a lot of fellowship, that the Christians in Rome would be uplifted with Paul, but Paul himself would be uplifted by being in their presence. And I love, he ends it, may the God of peace be with you all. That is a peace that the world does not know. Paul knows that as Christians, those in Rome, Jerusalem, throughout the world, we know that God has given us a peace through Jesus Christ that nobody else knows. It's not a peace of a world where there's an absence of violence and hardship. No, it is a peace that tells us in Christ's death and resurrection, we are at peace with our Heavenly Father. That relationship has been fixed 100%. And so that is the peace that we live in, knowing that we are righteous and holy in Christ, and our Father sees us as righteous and holy through Christ's blood, and that we are a children. We are the children of God, a peace with our Heavenly Father that the world does not know.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Philip. Thanks for being our guest, helping us study God's Word in Romans chapter 15 today. It was a pleasure, a privilege to get to study God's Word with you.
Well, it was an honor and privilege, too. If you won't mind, just one second, I'm going to give a shout-out, a happy birthday to my youngest daughter, Kaylin. She's turning 21 today, and she'll be returning home from college today so we can enjoy a party tonight. And had an extra gift. My parents and older brother drove in from Texas yesterday to celebrate her birthday with her. So
what a blessing.
A special day for the family as well.
Well, happy birthday, Kaylin. And God bless you, Pastor, and all the saints at St. Paul in Gillette and St. Luke's in DeWitt, Arkansas.
Thank you, sir. God's blessings to you and everybody listening.
Amen. Coming up in just a little bit, our regular Friday check-in with Pastor Wirth. Worldview Watch, looking at matters of creation. You're on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.